Welcome back to the Big Football Show. I'm Ari Wasserman, the Athletics National Recruiting Writer, and I'm here with Jesse Temple, like I always am, at the end of the week. The schedule's kind of messed up. Jesse, how was your holiday?
It was solid, very low-key, didn't leave the house. That's 2020 for you, man. I'm looking forward to 2021. But first, we have some bowl games.
My gift to the people was not handing out losers during the Christmas holiday. Like, that, to me, is a nice gift. So before we go in and give the final picks of the 2020 season, the season came and went, why don't you break down and humiliate me one last time?
Well, we had identical picks last time, so therefore we have identical records. We both went 2-2 since in the last round of games, the Champions Week, that was. And so we were wrong about Nebraska against Rutgers. And we were wrong about Ohio State against Northwestern in the Big Ten championship game. Nebraska ended up covering as 6.5-point favorites. Ohio State was a 20.5-point favorite, beat Northwestern 22-10. Obviously, the Wildcats put quite a scare into the Buckeyes for a while. And the good news is we were correct on two games, Wisconsin-Minnesota, Penn State-Illinois. Wisconsin was an inexplicable 12.5-point favorite against Minnesota. That made no sense. I think you and I both established that before. The Badgers won by 3 in overtime. Penn State was a 15-point favorite against Illinois. An Illinois team, mind you, that had just fired its coach. The Nittany Lions rolled to a 56-21 victory. So, of course, let me get to the season totals because this is where I humiliate you on a weekly basis. I am 27-19 against the spread. You are 18-28. In other words, you are not going to catch me this season because there aren't enough Big Ten teams playing in bowl games. Iowa's game against Missouri in the Music City Bowl was canceled because of high COVID-19 numbers with Missouri's program. So there are only four Big Ten teams playing in the postseason, and that is your wrap on how we've reached this point.
You know, you did a great job, Jesse, and I want to say I'm, like, really bummed that the Music City Bowl got canceled because that would have given three bowl game matchups between Big Ten and SEC, and there would have been some fun, you know, answers. In a year where non-conference games weren't being played, the bowl season is kind of the only way that we can talk about bowl supremacy. And I don't know if you even think that's stupid. Sometimes I think it's dumb. But do you think that in a year like this where bowl games are overlooked or not really cared about, that they mean a little bit more this year just as a result of the fact that we're getting answers on how these conferences stack up against each other? Or do you think it's just like, let's get a wrap on the season, get through this COVID season, and try to have a more functional year next year?
I'm not going to say let's just get a wrap on the season, but I am going to say no, they don't mean a little bit more this year. They may even mean less. I mean, this has been a totally dysfunctional, disjointed season. I'm more bummed for Iowa and its supporters because the Hawkeyes were the hottest team in the Big Ten, really. They'd won six games in a row. They'd played great football. They'd earned an opportunity. And they stay for Christmas. They're getting ready for a bowl. And now they don't even have that opportunity. So bummed for them, but at least glad we've got four games to watch in the Big Ten and to pick.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to seeing it. Like the game outside of the playoff game that I was most excited about was Ole Miss Indiana, because it will give us a real idea of how good Indiana is. And I know that Michael Penix Jr. is not playing, but I think one of the biggest mysteries of the year was how good is Indiana really? You know, I know that they are propped up by some wins against the traditional powers, Michigan, Penn State, games that they don't usually win, but this year were more winnable. And then of course the
Wisconsin
fact that they came
too.
No, Wisconsin too, and that was probably their most impressive win, in my opinion, because they did it, and they were also, I think, double-digit dogs against them too. But I think that they are really propped up too about the idea of when they were down to Ohio State 35-7 fighting back and only losing by a possession. I think a lot of people think or thought that, you know, that was most evidence that this team is legit. So Ole Miss sitting here at 4-5. It's probably one of the poorer teams in the SEC, and the fact that we have this game coming up, I think, is going to give us some answers, and just in terms of top to bottom, how good this team actually is. So I guess this is a natural place to start, Jesse. The spread coming into this game is what? What number did you have?
Indiana is a 7.5-point favorite in this. This is the Outback Bowl on January 2nd.
That, to me, is kind of a big number, but I'll let you start. And it doesn't matter anymore because you smoked me on the season.
You're right. It doesn't matter. Much like bowl season. Sorry for the pessimism. But I like Indiana in this one because I can't trust the Ole Miss defense. The Rebels are allowing an average of 40.3 points per game. I know they've played some good teams in the SEC. Florida scored 51. Alabama scored 63 on them. But a 500 LSU team just dropped 53 points on Ole Miss. Indiana's a different offense without Michael Penix Jr., as you said. He's gone for the rest of the season. But Jack Tuttle was solid in that win against Wisconsin when he threw two touchdown passes. I don't know how much rust will be a factor because Indiana hasn't played since December 5th. But I think the Hoosiers are highly motivated to show how good they are. I think Indiana got hosed this season. The Hoosiers were left out of the New Year's Six Bowl and were ranked number 11 in the final college football playoff top 25 ranking, behind three-loss Iowa State and Florida State teams, or Florida teams. So I'm laying the points on the Hoosiers.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, hosed is a very interesting discussion because you would think that with what they've done this year for the first time in basically program history that they would have been rewarded. But, you know, the over-under in this game, Jesse, is 65.5. And I just feel like this is going to be a major shootout because I don't know that Indiana is going to be equipped to stop Ole Miss from scoring. Now, Corral has had some interception issues and, you know, Mississippi hasn't always been able to stop anybody. And, you know, I feel like the over is the play here just because I can't imagine anybody getting any stops. But, you know, I think two possessions in a game where Indiana's facing a team that can put up some points, it's kind of hard to lay those multiple scores. I think I'm going to take the points here. I'm going to side with the SEC on this one and just think that a 4-5 Mississippi team is probably a little bit, at least on par with the middle tier Big Ten team, right? I mean, the middle tier Big Ten teams, I think everybody in the conference this year was 2-4. So, you know, I think that this is a team that has some holes, a team that has certainly given up its fair share of points, but I also think they scored their fair share of points too. And anytime you start laying multiple possessions in a game like this, I kind of like the idea of taking the points, especially because I know that there's going to be a lot coming. So we're opposite. I'm still going to try to fight back. I'm still going to try to claw back on you. Okay. So just respect it. And you know, maybe I'll try to get a more respectable final season total. And it's funny because the Ohio State game that we missed against Northwestern last week, did you see how that ended?
No.
Ohio State was at the 3-yard line, and they were about to score another touchdown to win by 19, and they ran the clock out instead.
Yeah, but it was a 20.5-point spread.
No, it was like at the I guess we did 20.5, but by the time the game started, when they announced all the people who were out, the spread had moved down to 17.5. So like they were about to cover the original spread, but I guess we would have been wrong no matter what then, Jesse, because we do the wrong line sometimes, but. Okay, another SEC Big Ten matchup here is the Citrus Bowl, Northwestern versus Auburn. I think that this is like an interesting discussion because all year when we were talking about playoff stuff and, you know, quality wins and resume comparisons, like I think a regular question that we would hear is, do you think Northwestern could beat Auburn? It's like there's a comparison between like a middle-tier SEC team and the high-end Big Ten West team that's supposed to compete for a Big Ten championship and did. I mean, Northwestern had Ohio State on the ropes for almost three full quarters. But I think we're going to find this out. Northwestern was a 3.5-point favorite in the Citrus Bowl, and I don't know if this SEC bias is creeping into me, but I just have a hard time laying points for Northwestern in this one. I don't know. How do you feel?
Well, I want to hear your explanation. Why?
I think that the reason why is because I become obsessed with the 247 Sports talent composite rankings, and I just think that Auburn has better players. And like sometimes that's like the extent of my analysis, and it's kind of to bite me in the butt a little bit. But anytime that you're in a situation right now where you're picking between two teams and one team that has better superior athletes is getting points, it's always really hard for me to turn my back on that. And I don't know, maybe that's why I've had such a bad year, and I'm not going to blame it on COVID. Maybe I get too, sucked in by that sort of thing. But, like, Auburn is a tough out, and they've been bad, and they've been scrutinized and whatever, but they were on the brink of beating Texas A&M a few weeks ago. They've got guys on their team. You know, their offense has some pieces. Bo Nix is a talented player. Seth Williams, obviously, that goes without saying. I mean, they've got a lot of really good players. And I don't know, like, if I put a gun to anybody's head right now, if they could name five players on Northwestern's team. And, like, that's not good or bad. They win boring. They are boring. They're the Fighting Reese Davises, you know. And I watch them go toe-to-toe with Ohio State, which is a team that is about as talented as anybody in the country. So I'm not trying to diminish who they are as a team and what they are as in terms of how good they are as a functional team. But in this scenario right now, it's like this is the answer of Big Ten versus SEC. And, you know, Northwestern was the representative for the Big Ten in the Big Ten championship game, but it is a middle-of-the-run program in the Big Ten, which is good for them. And, you know, Auburn, I think, is a closer to higher-tier SEC team. And just like looking at it, maybe it's just an eyesore, but I have a hard time laying points in this matchup.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You should get a tattoo somewhere that says Stars Matter. I think it's a matter of time.
Yeah, did you listen to Andy Staples' show? Because that was the whole thing. I'm going to get it tattooed across my chest.
There you go.
I got to get in better shape first.
Well, I'm just going to tell you this. I cover Wisconsin's program on the daily, and if it was just about stars, then Wisconsin wouldn't have beaten Miami in the Orange Bowl. They wouldn't have beaten LSU at Lambeau Field to open the 2016 season. They wouldn't have beaten Auburn back when they played in the Outback Bowl in January 2015 and Melvin Gordon ran roughshod over them. So to me, that principle doesn't matter as much when you are playing a middling Power 5 conference team. When we're talking about the four or five teams that consistently compete for a national championship, okay. And even then, a program like Wisconsin or Northwestern has shown that it can play for three plus quarters with an Ohio State, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about an Auburn team that is middling this year in a power conference.
Yeah. So, and you're right.
So I think there's something to be said for the stability that Northwestern's football program has under Pat Fitzgerald, especially in relation to Auburn's specific situation right now. The Tigers fired Gus Malzahn. Defensive coordinator Kevin Steele's the interim coach, but Boise State's Brian Harsin was named the new head coach. So Steele's position after this game, in question. I also just like Northwestern's team. They made Ohio State sweat in the Big Ten title game. They led 10-6 at halftime. They trailed by a field goal entering the fourth quarter. I know Trey Sermon ran for 331 yards, but I still like Northwestern's defense. This is a Northwestern team that ranks 5th in the FBS in scoring defense, 15.5 points a game, 12th in pass defense, still number 22 in total defense. You know, there's been some turnover, like leading rusher Drake Anderson entered the transfer portal, but he didn't get a single carry in the Big Ten title game, and Cam Porter's taken over that top role. So all this is to say I'm laying the points on Northwestern because I trust a team that has been consistently good outside of one mishap against Michigan State compared to a team that has coaching turnover and hasn't been particularly good this season.
Okay. First of all, you cover the team that has recruited the best to its system than any other team in college football. I would argue that Wisconsin is the most effective middle-tier recruiting program in terms of developing talent. So I would understand. I covered Ohio State for a long time. My thought process is clouded by what I saw there, and of course your thought process is influenced by what you see at Wisconsin, and both of those things are reasonable. Let me just tell you the stat, though. Auburn has the 14th most talented team in college football this year. Northwestern is 48. Like, that's not just like Wisconsin at 26 and Miami at 12 difference. That's like 45 teams. And, like, again, I get what you're saying. Northwestern just pushed Ohio State. Pat Fitzgerald is probably one of the top five coaches in the Midwest and maybe one of the top 15 coaches in college football. And Northwestern is feeling themselves right now. And yes, there's turmoil at Auburn, and I think that's the reason why the spread is even this close. But I just watched Trey Sermon rush for 330 yards when I wasn't sure that he was going to get to 400 on the season. And they've got Tank Bigsby, and he's one of the best running backs in college football. I mean, the guy's averaging 6 yards a carry this year. So Like, I don't know, maybe Northwestern will hit this, and, you know, you're the master here. You've beaten me on the season, but I just, like, have a hard time laying 3.5 against a team that is dwarfed, and I mean absolutely dwarfed in talent. But, you know, I think there is something to be said, too, about current program positioning, coaching circumstance, you know, the give-a-crap meter, because I think in bowl games specifically, sometimes teams just don't care. All those things. So I'm happy that we're on the, it feels right that we're on the opposite end of these two things. So let's go to your area expertise. I'll shut up now. Wisconsin -7.5 versus Wake Forest, Duke's Mayo Bowl, Charlotte, North Carolina. This is the bowl that everybody's been waiting for. December 30th, Wednesday. You pumped?
This is a bowl that I didn't know existed until I learned Wisconsin drew Wake Forest in it, because it wasn't the Duke's Mayo Bowl until this year. I believe it was the Belk Bowl for the previous decade. So there you have it. So let's get to the game. We had a chance to talk to Wisconsin coach Paul Chryst this week, and he said that wide receivers Danny Davis and Kendrick Pryor, the team's top two receivers, quote, haven't done much, end quote, in practice. That sounds like neither guy's going to play. Davis has missed the last four games. Pryor's missed three of the last four. So I just don't feel confident picking Wisconsin to win by two scores. It took the Badgers overtime to beat a Minnesota team that finished 3-4. And Wisconsin barely had enough offense to get there. It does sound as though running back Jalen Berger, the freshman sensation, will be back, so that will help. But on the flip side, I also wonder what happens if Wake Forest's up-tempo offense can score early. Against a Wisconsin defense that's number one in the FBS in total defense, so that's no gimme. But the Demon Deacons are top 20 in the country in scoring offense, 37 points per game. They have a quarterback that's thrown one interception on 236 throws, so they can put up points in a hurry. For all those reasons, I'm taking Wake Forest against the spread on this. Wisconsin may win, but I just don't think it will be by two scores without the full complement of offensive players, which the Badgers really haven't had all season.
I'm not laying two scores against the Colorado School of Mines right now if I'm Wisconsin. Like, every single week they're inexplicably favored by multiple scores and they don't cover it. So, like, just based on trends, I know Wake Forest doesn't have the Jamie Newman anymore, and it wasn't as exciting of an offense as they had last year. But, like, right now, if Wake Forest, like you said, can score early, I don't know that Wisconsin get into an offensive groove to feel comfortable scoring multiple possessions more. I think Wisconsin's going to win. I don't know that I would feel comfortable with them covering. Okay, here's the last one. College football playoff semifinal Friday. A lot of saltiness happening in this game. Ohio State, Clemson. Clemson is favored by 7.5 points in the college football playoff semifinal. Got Dabo Swinney ranking Ohio State number 11, saying that he doesn't think that a team that's only played six games belongs. You got Ryan Day insinuating that they steal signs. You've got Kevin Wilson, Ohio State's offensive coordinator, making jokes about how he had to spend his anniversary away from his wife because he was watching Citadel tape. You got a lot of saltiness in this game, and I think it's great. These two teams don't like each other, and in an absence, a world where Ohio State has got an absence in a rivalry game right now with Michigan not being competitive in it, it does kind of feel nice to see that Ohio State is in a position where they are playing a team that they can't conquer and haven't been able to conquer, and that kind of gives you some juice when they're usually on the other side of that equation. So, Jesse, just your thoughts so far, and then I'll blab for 20 minutes about what I think after you're done.
Well, these teams played in a great national semifinal last year. Clemson won that one 29-23. I love the saltiness. It adds some flavor to this college football season that's been so weird. I think Ohio State covers in this one as a two-possession underdog. Justin Fields was not great against Northwestern. He completed 12 of 27 passes, 114 yards, no touchdowns, two picks, although he said he had a sprained thumb and couldn't throw late in the game. I think he'll be better. Ohio State also had nearly two dozen players on its inactive list, so if the Buckeyes can get healthy in time for the game, I think it's a much different team. And again, something to be said for motivation. You mentioned it. Dabo has been adamant that Ohio State, while a good team, doesn't belong in the playoff because it only played six games. He has them ranked 11th, as you said, in the USA Today coaches poll. And I also liked, after the Big Ten championship game, the video that leaked of Ryan Day saying the team just needed a chance in the playoff against whether it was Clemson, Alabama, or Notre Dame. He said Ohio State was going to beat their ass. There's a swear word in there that I took out, but the intrigue on this game is just off the charts. You know, Ohio State is obviously the best team in the Big Ten. This is the opportunity that they wanted in trying to get this season restarted. So I'm going with the Buckeyes to cover. I just 7.5 points feels kind of like a lot, even though Clemson's been fantastic this season.
I don't think Ohio State's going to win. I think they are probably going to cover. I think two scores for a team that's as talented as they are, that's as motivated as they are, is quite a bit. I don't know that they are good enough or have played enough games to make me feel comfortable, especially after what we saw in the Northwestern game, that they can beat Clemson. I think it's interesting, and I want to know what your take is. But part of the Dabo Swinney narrative or the thought process is that a team that's only played six games is better off in the playoff because there's less wear and tear on their bodies. They haven't had to expose themselves to potential upsets as often. If you play five less games, then you have five less opportunities to potentially lose and damage your resume. I get all those things, but just from a matchup standpoint, Jesse, do you think that it is a big advantage for Ohio State to not have played a full schedule of games this year, or do you think it's a disadvantage? Because I think that they're worse off for it.
I do think there's something to be said for having less wear and tear on the bodies, and the fact that Clemson's basically played double the season of Ohio State. And then on top of that the Buckeyes haven't had a lot of guys even available because they've been on the inactive list. I think it's kind of nonsense to say that Ohio State doesn't belong in this. They played enough games to me. They won a conference championship. And we're going to find out on the field. So that's the fun part of this. But it certainly adds fuel to the fire in this weird season that's so disjointed because you have so many teams playing way more games than teams in other conferences.
Yeah, I think that Ohio State has some personnel issues in the secondary especially, and you know, even some play calling issues to work through, as you saw in the Northwestern game. They didn't even recognize that the run was the way to go until like midway through the third quarter. In that game, they were already in dangerous position of losing. And I think when you play less games, it gives you less of an opportunity to work through some of those things. And like, I think Ohio State at this point is a really talented, really exciting football team to watch, but I don't think they've scratched the surface in terms of what they're able to do physically with more time and more reps in games. And that's the reason why I don't think they can win, because I don't think that they can get to the point that they need to be playing at the highest level possible by Friday in order to win the football game. Now, are they physically capable of doing it? Absolutely. Do I expect a good game? Yes. Would I be absolutely shocked if Ohio State won? No. But in terms of what I'm expecting to see, I'm not expecting Ohio State to be as sharp as they need to be to order to beat Clemson. Last year in 2019, Ohio State had maybe the most complete team or one of the most complete teams in Ohio State football history. They had Fields at quarterbacks, Chase Young at defensive end, J.K. Dobbins at running back, Jeff Okuda at corner. I mean, these are all first-round picks, basically, and they're all stacked, and they couldn't win last year, and they were playing a great game. And granted, Sean Wade with the targeting and some of the weird calls that happened in that game was part of the reason why they weren't able to get it done. But if Ohio State couldn't beat Clemson when they were what they were last year, then I don't really know that I have confidence that they can do it again right now this year. And 7.5 points is a lot. I think that it's too much. I think that Clemson's going to win maybe by 7, by 5, something like that in that range, but I don't know. So I think I would take the points, because anytime Ohio State or a team as talented as Ohio State's getting multiple possessions, I think that's just an auto pick. But I don't think that they're going to win the football game, Jesse.
Okay. I think all valid points. I probably agree with you. And I'm glad that we have four games and we at least differ on two of them.
So. Yeah, yeah. I think when in doubt, bet the SEC is something that isn't going to be a selling point for this podcast. But I'm very curious to see, more so than anything, obviously the playoff result is the most entertaining thing, but I'm very curious to see how some of the teams that kind of helped carry the burden for the Big Ten do this year. Because, you know, the traditional powers, the Penn States, the Wisconsins, the Michigans, they didn't get it done this year. And like, Ohio State's resume to get into the playoff was hinged on beating teams like Northwestern and Indiana. And that's not normally the case. And in a world where we're not sure how good these teams are because of a lack of conference schedule, I was like, Northwestern and Auburn is an intriguing matchup to me. And it doesn't mean anything. Maybe it's nobody cares. Maybe Auburn will mail it in. Maybe their entire staff will. I don't know. But I'm just excited to watch these teams play other teams from different conferences to see how they match up. And hopefully, you know, this will be the last year of all the weirdness and the coronavirus and the vaccine, and everything will be better by the time we are talking about bets again next year. And, you know, I just want to thank everybody for listening this year. Sorry if I lost you money, but thank God Jesse won you money, right?
That's what I'm here for. At least one of us has to do something right on this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't me. So for Jesse, I'm Ari. That was the latest edition of the Big Football Show. Enjoy the games, and thanks for listening.